You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, get the most trusted Browns news straight from the team to your phone, including insider videos, photos, player news, and more. Good look at the Browns 2015 rookie class and offseason team workouts. Download the official Browns mobile app for Apple and Android now and stay up to date on your team. Now, if you missed the Browns rookie spotlight over this weekend or on Thursday night, you can get that now on the Browns app as well. Good look at this 2015 Browns rookie class. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Special guest Corey Petro in with us as well. We'll talk NBA for a second before we turn our attention back to football real quickly. The Final Four in the NBA is set. The Warriors and the Rockets, the Cavs and the Hawks. Who you guys got?
Well, I got the Cavs.
Absolutely.
I got playing the Warriors.
Cavs, Warriors. I think it's a lock.
And also, too, is I will have to say, as much as we have a man here that lives in Houston.
I was going
to
say, my wife's sitting right there,
are representing.
Too,
so. She a big Rockets fan?
Well, yeah. I mean, she's Houston, right? Don't want to get in.
That's all right. Yeah. But I really did want to see Chris Paul and Blake Griffin make a final, or like make a conference
Chris Paul
final.
Paul is overrated.
Yes, I agree.
He does not win in the playoffs.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay,
so I would have liked to see
him. Scratch him. I want to see Blake Griffin.
I agree.
Continue, because, I mean, the guy's a triple-double machine. He's carrying that roster.
But didn't he have nothing in the fourth quarter of Game 6?
Nothing.
Can't
they
what
lost
happen.
Three in a row? Were they down? They were up 3-1.
3-1.
You gotta step up.
Oh man, brutal.
Brutal.
Cavs Warriors.
How
Cavs
is
Warriors.
Chris Paul Cavs overrated?
Warriors. How's Chris Paul overrated?
He's not overrated.
What's he ever done in the playoffs?
Number one, he's
ever.
Hurt.
What?
He was hurt.
What is he in his career? What
Who
has he ever
about
done in the
his
playoffs?
Career? I'm talking about this year.
Come on, Gibbs.
What do you mean?
The guy single-handedly got him to the next round on one leg.
Gibbs, we need to start seeing the forest for the trees, brother. The guy's never won in the playoffs, ever.
Hey, how many times has he been to the playoffs?
Well, that should even be more of an indictment.
Right.
If you're trying to make that excuse, he hasn't gotten to the playoffs enough?
Well, how are you going to judge him on 2 years going to the playoffs?
2 years? Chris Paul's been in the NBA for a long time.
I'm going to go look up how many times he's been to the playoffs.
Okay, and then look up his playoff record.
Okay.
And then come back to me.
All right.
All right, thank you very much, Gibbs. Gibbs has got to see it. He needs the information before
Thanks,
he's
Gibbs.
Gonna, he'll arrive to his opinion, then he'll get the information, and then we'll see if his opinion, we'll see if it sticks. Yeah, we'll see if he keeps it going there. All right, so Cavs Warriors, I think that's what we all think we're seeing here.
I think so too.
Yeah, but that scares me.
Your wife wants Cavs Rockets though.
I was going to say Rockets. It would be cool to be at home too, you know.
Yeah.
Are you going to go James Harden? You got a little bit of the beard going.
I like Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah,
no, I got a lot of the zits going. it's bad.
The itch,
that's right. That's right. All right, so that's what we got there. Now, when you talk about – oh, and by the way, I need to take a few moments for myself, Matt, if I may.
Take your moments.
I want to apologize. Actually, I don't want to apologize. I want to congratulate myself on motivating Matthew Dellavedova to perform at the level that he has.
I was going to call you out on that.
Because I've been very hard on him.
Yeah,
and deservedly so, I think.
No,
but
he
did in Game 6, a tip of the cap to him. My dad's mad at me for being so mean to him because he went to St. Mary's in Moraga, which is where my dad and mom both went to college. So my dad's like, how could you be trashing a guy from St. Mary's? Well, because I thought he stunk. He has proven me wrong. So again, I'm going to congratulate myself on motivating Matthew Dellavedova to play at a level that he had not yet played. But what he did in Game 6, phenomenal.
Beast.
Phenomenal. Played awesome. Good defense, shot the three. He did it all, and I think he did it well. He was probably the biggest surprise of that playoff series in my mind.
He really was, and I think it caught Chicago off guard. And I thought a lot of the reason why they, what seemed like, gave up in Game 6 is because all of the Cavs scrubs
were whooping
their starters. LeBron couldn't score. You know,
Kyrie wasn't
even
playing.
Kyrie was on the bench. You know, it was Dellavedova. It was everybody but our stars beating. You know, you can tell Joakim Noah was getting pissed.
Oh yeah,
you know, they were just mixed.
You know, yeah. I mean that my favorite play is the Dellavedova LeBron pick at the top of the circle, and LeBron kind of hook shots it over to Dellavedova, and he knocks down the top of the key three, and I'm just like, it's over.
When he hit that, and then he came in and he had the little spin move.
Yeah,
I was like, what is going on? He's dominating.
He's
this
like
game.
Chris Paul.
He was.
I think Deli even hit all net on one shot. I've never seen it because his usually rattle.
Oh, yeah, they're a little, they're not
but
pretty.
I think one actually went through the net.
It just went in straight, like straight. A nice swish from Deli.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was I was calling for I went through a whole a Twitter thing where I was calling for him to be the president, and they're like, well, he's born in Australia. I'm like, make an exception. He deserves it. Delhi. It started off with a Delhi, and then I said, I'm sorry I ever besmirched the almighty Delhi. Delhi for president. And people were yelling at me, how could you have ever said those things? And again, I'll take a little credit. I think I motivated him. I'd heard through the grapevine that he's a big listener, an avid listener of Browns Daily, and was upset with what
but
I
also,
said.
But also, too, is we're going to need Delhi next series, too.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, Kyrie has been sitting out practice, sitting out the walkthroughs.
Apparently, he was jumping around and joking around and shooting today, per Tom Withers.
Kyrie?
Yes, today, awesome. Shooting around.
Yeah, but that's not performing at the level to win a championship. So we will see. But we get, what, 2.5 more days of rest.
2.5 more days, which was that's why it was so big to get that one done in 6.
Yes.
Mm. It doesn't start till Wednesday.
Yep.
Jay Rowland tweets us, so Matt Delhi, a max contract player.
No.
So just kidding. I just wanted to see your face.
Phew. No. We got 5 max contracts.
We got a million. Yeah. Tristan Thompson playing out of his mind, by the way,
gosh.
As well.
Love it.
I love that, too.
Yeah.
All right. So we got this new rule right now in the National Football League that they're talking about, moving the extra point back to the 15-yard line, moving the two-point conversion up to the 1-yard line. In my mind, why would you ever not go for two if you're at the 1-yard line?
Correct.
As a player, though, aren't goal line situations among your least favorite to be in and probably amongst the most dangerous because everybody's going low?
Yes.
So you're going to be adding, for a league that's talking all about player safety, a lot.
Two more plays. Both those scenarios you're talking about. You know, an extra point is, guys get out of their stance and just basically, you know, bump chests. And then the kicker kicks through, you know, a 12-yard field goal, whatever it is. You're going to move it back to the 15.
People are going to try to block it.
People are going to try to block it. You know, it's going to make a much more competitive down from the 15. And then, as you said, you know, those scrums that happen on field goals is now going to happen. Those pile-ups on the goal line, you know, the over-the-top scenarios for linebackers and running backs, you know, meeting like two Rams colliding at the top of the pile. That you're insinuating that scenario, too. And I think, you know, it's no surprise that Chip Kelly, of all people, is the guy that, you know, wants that idea to move it up to the 1.
Because he wants to come with all his college
formations.
He's got all
the crazy
all
formations,
plays.
Those ideas for his 2. Exactly. You know, and he had done it in Oregon. So, with Roger, this is another finicky situation for Roger Goodell and this the competition committee, because he's pushing player safety, this big concussion initiative, and he's changing the rules, the penalties, you know, that the fans are out. The players don't even know how to play this game now. And then you're going to introduce a scenario, two additional scenarios for them to get hurt in.
I'd imagine that's just the most physical play you can have, a play from the 1-yard line.
Yep. You got, I mean, if the offense brings in their heavy package, you know, the extra offensive lineman, the big fullback, and or a Danny Shelton maybe as a fullback with the crow running behind him.
Caw-caw.
So you're bringing in thousands of pounds of beef. So what's the defense going to do? They're not going to have their nickel package out there.
They're
going to go get
their beef.
We're going to get our beef. We're going to have Danny on our side and Phil and John Hughes and have, you know, 1,500 pounds there. And then all of them colliding at or around the 1-yard line. You know, bodies landing on each other, twisted ankles. Navarro Bowman, where did he get hurt?
Yeah, right on the goal line.
Right on the goal line.
Yeah. I mean, to me, if they're saying the extra point's too easy, just make a touchdown worth 7 points and move on with it. Because when you think about the implications, with player safety we talked about, but games are now going to be decided not based on how well you actually move the ball up and down the field, but maybe on what you're able to do on these two-point conversions.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between, you know, you could easily be up 16-12, which is more than a field goal difference after 2 touchdowns just because you get your 2s and the other team doesn't.
Right.
You know, Vegas, I think, is going to have a very difficult time because most NFL point spreads are, you know, under 7 to begin with.
Right.
And since 7's a big number 3, now they have no big number that they can even move off of.
And then you think also the difference in a team that's able to score a lot of touchdowns. You know, if they score 5-6 touchdowns, they're, you know, by going for 2, they're almost, and going, say, 5-for-5 on 2-point conversions.
Sure.
They're almost another touchdown ahead.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a lot of scenarios that will happen that'll make it very, very different. And for me, I don't really know where to come out on it. I don't think the 1-yard line's the answer. Too easy. You know, even though it's 57% conversion for the offense, I think it does not coincide with the direction of the game from a commissioner change of the rule standpoint. I think it's stupid. It's an oxymoron.
And I think teams would spend significantly more time on it and get significantly more creative.
Yeah. Absolutely.
because you'd have so many more opportunities at that play. I think it would be interesting.
And lastly, also, too, one other point, as I'm just thinking player safety, you're putting the quarterback, the moneymaker for that organization and that franchise, on the field for, what, 3-4 more opportunities to get hit. So if a defense not going to be able, if you're not going to run it in, every place that I've been in a 3-4 defense, San Diego for 5 of the 6 years, San Francisco and Green Bay, and even Mark D'Antonio, defense or now head coach at Michigan State, when we're bringing a man zero blitz. We're bringing
every
the
time,
house
right,
to force your hand. You got to find that guy in that one-on-one matchup with a linebacker, a safety, or an outside linebacker breathing down that quarterback's neck to force him to make a throw. What does that do? He's going to get hit. So you're taking one more impact on your moneymaker, which is your quarterback. You're creating scenarios for that guy gets hurt on a two-point conversion. That rule might get outlawed like the next week.
Immediately.
Immediately.
It's going to be very interesting to see what the NFL ends up doing because I definitely feel like they have to feel the heat of being under the microscope. They've got now Roger Goodell hearing the Tom Brady appeal. You've got Kraft talking to Peter King about how upset he is with everything that's going on. That window to me is the biggest. That might be the biggest rule change in a long, long
yes.
time because it's going to change scoring. It's going to change how you think of games. You know, a game. Football scored is sevens and threes.
Yeah.
And that's it. And all of a sudden, it's going to be sixes,
yeah.
eights, and threes.
It's like now you're talking safeties. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
It's like safeties is like once a season. Now you're talking safeties every single game. And the one other scenario that I'll talk about, and I actually loved in my rookie year hanging with Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie, you know, when I was a 21-year-old rookie, Doug Flutie was like 40 as a backup in San Diego behind Breeze. You know, he's played
great
in arena, Canada, the NFL. I mean, he's been everywhere by the time he was in San Diego at the end of his career. But what I loved doing at the end of a game, whether it was the other team, you know, ahead or us behind, or we were ahead and how you kill a game, you know, and just saying, you know, we need X amount of first downs, you know, to get the clock running for this. Or in this situation, we need to, you know, it's almost like, at the end of a basketball game, do you get the quick two or do you shoot the three? Do you foul them to force them to go to the free throw line? All those things, all those scenarios, you know, are now in play because you're adding points out there for a team.
And I wonder if it's going to change. Yeah, if it changes things for teams in terms of how often they would want to go for it on fourth, if they're on a borderline, because now a touchdown could be worth 8. I mean, you can make up a 24-point deficit in 3 possessions.
Exactly. That's my point. Exactly. You're exactly right.
It's going to be very interesting. I think they might do it. I don't know why they're so set on tinkering with the extra
field
point.
Field goal is now going to be worth 4. That'll be next year.
I don't think they'll ever do that.
Everything's
going to
go
so
even number now. You know, it's either going to be 6, 8, or 4.
And
safety's still at 2.
Safety
no more odd numbers.
Will still be at 2. That's right. All right, when we come back here, we're going to talk a little bit about the golf outing from last Friday that raised a lot of money for the Cleveland Browns Foundation. Was a great cause out there. Some good golf was played. Matt Wilhelm was the celebrity driver on hole number one.
Nice.
Came out with us.
Feast or famine is how it was.
Let me tell you, you had a very nice wedge with us from 70 yards, so about 5 feet.
It was beautiful.
We promptly made the putt.
Did you make it?
Of course.
Did you make it?
How long
I didn't even get the putt. It was my drive.
It was your drive.
It wasn't a long hole.
No, your drive was probably we had 80 yards.
Yeah,
what, 75?
Yeah.
It was playing probably about 355.
It was probably like 285.
285, but it was piped about 25 feet off the ground. Never, you know, no draw.
It was just
no fade at all. Just thump. It was shot out of the gun.
A little wind cheater, some good Scotland golf out there on that day. There you go. A little stinger.
Low liner.
Yeah, low liner. Down the middle. Nice. Gibbs.
What do you want?
So what do you got? What do you got for me now that you've looked up Chris Paul's career?
When we come back, I've got all these numbers. I'm tabulating them right now.
Okay, good. We'll have those.
Good.
We'll have the Chris Paul playoff failure
stats. You will not
run
out of ink, I promise.
Yes, when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, 216-578-0850. Tweet the show at Browns_daily, at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35. Zagura Wilhelm, Corey Petro in studio here, CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.